satisfaction and regret.
"It's all done," said Calder.
He sounded puzzled, but for a man watching all his dreams dissolve, very calm. Handled defeat a lot better than most great warriors Clover had known, he looked almost amused by the sudden turn towards disaster.
"My son's dead. The North's lost. It's all done."
No one was disagreeing, and Clover least of all. Calder's guards had made a crescent-shaped wall around that little green hill with the one flat rock on top, their shields locked and their weapons ready. Might well have been the only order left in the whole army. The right wing crumbled when the men of Ufrith came pouring down. The centre was shattered when the men of the West Valleys ripped through the baggage into their rear. The hillmen had come howling from the trees and taught those Crinna bastards who the real savages were. Then the gates opened and Call Shivers caught the last resistance between Hammer and Anvil. All managed with a few blasts of his horn, as neatly as a spring dance, but with a lot more corpses. Not far off, one of those great dogs bounced and rolled and barked, its side somehow on fire, frisking madly across the grass, trying to escape from itself. Something Clover had been trying to do for years, with as little success.
"We've got to run,"
he muttered, giving the trees a wistful glance.
"Run or give up?"
"Run or give up?"
Calder gave him a withering look.
"Ever the counsel of Jonas Clover. I'm surprised you're not advising me to switch sides."
Clover winced.
"Fear it's a bit late for that."
"Aye. Just one thing I have to do first. Meant to do it after I won."
He breathed in and sighed out.
"But I guess it'll have to be now."
Maybe the years hadn't dulled Clover's instinct as much as he'd always thought, because somehow he felt it coming. He threw himself sideways, the wind of the axe kissing his scalp. He rolled clumsily, scrambled back fast enough that Downside's second swing thudded into the turf right between his legs. He stumbled to his feet, nearly fell again as he tottered backwards up the hill, then dodged behind the big stone at the top, breathing hard. Not very dignified, but then Clover long ago decided he'd rather have his life than his dignity. The dead help him, he drew his sword. Always the first lesson whenever he taught sword work, never draw the bastard thing. But he drew it now, and he weighed it, and he saw the gleam run down the polished metal.
"What the fuck are you doing, Downside?" he shouted over the noise of battle.
"Killing you. Ain't that obvious?"
"'Cause Calder paid you to?"
Downside looked confused.
"Course."
"But he's done."
Clover waved with his free hand towards the battle, which was hard not to wave at since it was all around them, pressing in closer on Calder's guards with every breath they took.
"Anyone can see he's fucking done. He's saying he's done himself."
"I'll tell you the truth, Clover."
Downside stepped towards him, probing for an opening, his heavy boot working its way into the turf.
"I'm not clever enough to keep track of all the twisting and turning. Makes my head hurt. All that cunning, just to end up where you started. No, I say a thing, I follow through."
And he sprang forward. He was fast for such a big man. Best Clover could do was dodge back, stumble, and near trip over his own feet before he found his balance again. They circled each other, that flat stone between them. At least the rest of Calder's guards weren't posing any danger. They were too busy fighting for their own lives, enemies pressing in tighter with every breath. Seemed most unfair, after he gave Downside a place when no one wanted the mad bastard. But Clover supposed a man who'd let down as many people as he had couldn't get too upset at being let down himself. He'd lost count of those he'd failed, those he'd turned on, Cairm Ironhead and Glamour Golden and Stour Nightfall, Magwyr with the flatbow bolt in his throat. Wonderful, too, pointing that beautiful raised eyebrow. An accusing crowd of disappointed friends, comrades, leaders, shaking their heads at him from the land of the dead. Clover shook the thought off. Hardly the kind you want weighing on you in a fight. He felt heavy enough already as he backed away, glancing about for anything that might help him and not finding it. Downside looked big when he was on your side. He looked a lot bigger on the other, with his scarred shield up, heavy mail from neck to knees and a steel cap on. A hard bastard to put down with a sword, faster than Clover was, and stronger and better armed. But it's a man's wits that set him apart from the beasts, or so he told himself. Downside stepped forwards again, and Clover slipped sideways, trying to keep the flat rock between them and hoping some opportunity might present itself. The fighting crouch he used to use didn't feel too comfortable. Stiffer joints and a lot more belly than the last time he tried it, maybe. Calder's standard-bearer stood a few strides off, a young lad with eyes big as cartwheels at all the battle and death, not to mention the duel that had broken out right under his nose.
"You!" shouted Calder. "Kill him!"
The standard-bearer numbly drew his sword. He looked at Clover. He looked at Calder. He looked at one of Calder's guards crawling through the grass with an arrow in his shoulder while the others shuffled to plug the gap. Then he let go of the standard and sprinted for the trees. Calder stared after him, a little wistful almost, as his standard toppled over and slid down the hill. For 20 years his authority had been iron-forged. Now it was cobwebs in a storm. All it takes is one lost fight. Clover could have told him that, but he was a little busy. He gasped as Downside rushed at him, managed to dodge the first whipping axe swing. Clover looked for an opening he could stab at, but the big shield came at him fast, the rim crunching into his mouth, snapping his head up. He got his bearings just in time to see the axe flashing at him the other way, and staggered clear, heavy blade hissing past and knocking a great chunk from the stone. Clover stumbled away, trying to shake the throbbing from his head, from his jaw. Nearly blundered into one of Calder's guards as he ran wild-eyed for the trees. Downside grinned over the bright rim of his shield. Clover stuck his tongue into the sore hole where a tooth used to be and spat blood. The truth was, a stubborn splinter of Jonas Steepfield was still buried in him, buried so deep it could never be worked free, buried so deep that it stung at him whenever he backed down, whenever he ran away, whenever he changed sides. And now it worked its way up to the surface, worked its way up and came out in a long, low growl.
"All right, fucker," he snarled, fist tightening around the grip of his sword. "Let's have you."
"Have me?" sneered Downside. "Can you even..."
An arrow came looping from the trees and stuck into Downside's shoulder. It didn't stick deep, just lodged in his mail. Probably didn't even draw blood, but it was enough to make him turn his head for an instant. In the end, the only thing a man can really do is pick his moment, watch for the opening and recognize it when it comes and seize it. Clover feinted left, switched right, heard the grunt of surprise as Downside's axe thudded into the turf where he might have been. Clover was already rolling across the flat stone, came up turning, edge of his sword flicking out and catching the back of Downside's boot below the hem of his mail coat. Downside hardly even noticed, growled as he turned, lifting his axe, stepping forwards. Then he lurched sideways with a surprised hoot, clutching the edge of the stone with his shield hand. Clover reckoned that was the tendon snapping at the back of his ankle. Downside hopped once on his good leg, giving a great spitty roar, swinging wildly. Clover whipped back, let the heavy blade sail past his nose. As Downside spun, he stepped forwards, thrusting under the rim of the shield. Metal scraped as the point slid through Downside's mail and into his belly. Clover might never draw the thing in anger, but he kept it sharp even so. Downside's eyes went very wide. He tottered forwards as Clover pulled his sword back. His ruined ankle gave under him, and he slumped onto one knee. He took a gasping breath.
I think...
No one cares. Clover took his head off with one whipping swing. It bounced once, then rolled down the slope towards where Calder's last guards were tossing away their weapons. The body dropped sideways, blood spilling out in a great wash that Jonas Steepfield would no doubt have taken great pleasure in. Calder raised his brows at it.
You can still swing that sword, then?
I try not to advertise the fact. Clover turned his head and spat blood again.
I find it makes folk want to try to kill you.
Ricker stood outside the gates of Carlion, rubbing gently at her red-stained hand and frowning down at Stour Nightfall's broken corpse. No one else was paying it much mind. Nothing on it worth stealing, after all. She'd often heard it said that there's no sweeter sight than dead enemies, usually by folk who'd never really had an enemy, let alone killed one. The truth was, she felt no satisfaction seeing the great wolf back to the mud, but she felt no regret either. It had needed doing, for her father, for her people, for herself. It had been long overdue. The battle was done with, more or less. A few men still fighting in little knots against the walls, and a lot running, dotting the valley sides, but mostly Calder's warriors were tossing their weapons down, holding their hands up, kneeling on the wheel-rutted, boot-smashed, arrow-prickled ground. Those that weren't lying down already, of course, never to rise, of which there were many. She felt no satisfaction at the sight, but no regret either.
"There's my girl,"
Isern came swaggering through the carnage, blood streaking her face from a cut on her forehead, but her missing tooth showing in a great smile even so.
"Isern if fail,"
and Ricker hugged her tight and kissed her on the cheek, and her sour sweat and chagger smell was a surprising comfort.
"Knew you wouldn't let me down."
Isern licked her fingers and rolled a chagger pellet.
"Always said you'd come to something, didn't I? Never once doubted it."
"You said how much you doubted it every morning, noon and night," said Ricker, making a grab for the chagger. With marvellous dexterity, Isern flicked it into her mouth before Ricker's fingers could close on it.
"If your faults aren't spread clearly before you, how can you improve on the bastards?"
Men shuffled back as she passed, heads lowered. Men stood out of her way, respectful. Men cleared an open pathway for her and stomped their boots and rattled their swords and tapped their axes against their shields till they sent up a great clatter of approval as she strode by. The same one they might have made for the Bloody Nine or Scarling Hoodless or any of the great war chiefs of the past. The truth was, she could hardly believe the plan had worked. But it wouldn't do to let anyone else know that. So she walked head high, shoulders back, the way she'd seen Savine Dan Brock walk, as if she'd never known what doubt was, to the foot of a green tummock under the eaves of the forest, where the dead were thickly scattered. Shivers nodded at her, his shield pecked and scored in the fighting, and his hair unbound again and hanging across his face.
"All good?"
"All good."
No need for more between the two of them. Black Calder was at the top, beside a flat rock half buried in the turf where his standard lay fallen. The man who shaped the North for 20 years, on his knees, with Jonas Clover's sword at his throat. You had to admire his calmness in defeat. Ricker wondered if she'd have taken it so cool, or if she'd have schemed and blubbed and begged for her life. But then, who cares a shit what the losers do? It's the winners that change things. Clover gave her a nod.
"I got him, Chief,"
That a fact. Ricker nudged a big corpse lying in a slick of blood with her foot. And did you get him, too?
My man Downside. He always did suffer from too much fight and not enough judgment.
So you've chosen a side, finally?
I've always been on the same one, said Clover.
Whichever wins. All the while, Calder was frowning up at her.
You found my spy.
Iserna Fale had her picked the moment she arrived. I can smell a lie, said Isern, spear across her shoulders with her blue hand and her pail dangling over the haft. And that bitch reeked.
I thought it all felt too easy,
mused Calder, frowning off towards Carlion, across the corpse-scattered fields, where even now the last of his army were being driven off or taken prisoner.
Aye, well, said Ricker, we're all prone to believe what we want to. It was Shivers handed me the notion to begin with.
Shivers gave a modest shrug.
No strength like looking weak.
All I did was, Ricker fluttered her fingers, sprinkle some glitter on it.
It was well done.
Calder narrowed his eyes thoughtfully at her.
Tell me one thing between us. Does it really work, the long eye? Did you know how it would turn out all along?
She looked down at him, thumb inside the chain of emerald she wore.
I know how it'll turn out now. Years ago, my father swore to kill you if you crossed the Cusk again.
I remember.
Calder nodded slowly, his eyes fixed far off.
It all has to be paid for in the end.
Took a while for me to keep his word, said Ricker. But we got there. Shivers.
Aye,
he said and drew his sword. Calder looked up as its shadow fell across him.
Been a long time.
Aye,
said Shivers.
I remember when you saved my life in the circle at the Heroes. Aye. Quite the irony. That it should be you who ends it. Aye. Well, I can hardly say I don't deserve it.
Seems your father's dream came true after all, said Ricker. The North united.
She put her hands behind her head and stretched up tall.
It just won't be his blood that leads it. Scales back to the mud, Stours back to the mud, Bethod's line ends with you.
Ah.
For some reason, Calder had the ghost of a smile at the last. He leaned forwards and spoke so softly only she could hear.
So you don't see everything.
The blade fell. There was a sharp crack, blood sprayed up in dark streaks, and Calder flopped face down on the dirty grass. There was a long silence after the great noise of the battle. Every eye fixed on the bubbling wound in the back of Black Calder's head. Shivers stood frowning down in the midst of those staring faces, the sword that had been the Bloody Nines in his fist, that dull grey blade with the one silver letter, dashed and speckled with blood. Then Senefael lifted high his hammer, which looked to have some hair stuck to the scarred head.
This was well done, he roared.
Truly, the girl is beloved to the moon,
said his brother Scofan, laughing and waving his axe.
Black Calder ruled the North.
Isern slapped a hard hand down on Ricker's shoulders.
She who beat him should do the same. The children of Cromach Ifail stand with Black Ricker.
And I,
roared the Nail, before Ricker could get a word in, stepping up out of the crowd, so spattered head to toe with blood, it looked like he'd gone swimming in it.
I stand with Black Ricker. And I,
grunted Hardbread, clambering with some effort onto the little knoll. He gave a burp and thumped at his breastbone, peering down at Calder's corpse.
Your father would have been proud.
Ricker blinked at them. Calder had stolen the name from Black Dow that day on the Heroes. Seemed now she'd stolen it from him.
Black Ricker!
Men were shouting all around, even some who'd been Calder's men until the sword fell. They had to be someone else's men now, after all.
Black Ricker!
All competing to shout it loudest, as though having a girl with a tattooed face in charge, who used to shit herself in the streets of Ufrith, was their fondest dream.
Black Ricker!
As though this had been what everyone wanted all along, what they'd expected. Shivers carefully wiped his sword with a rag, sunlight glinting on his metal eye.
Looks like you win, he said.
Ricker looked from that little hill across the churned-up battlefield, then down at Calder's corpse. She felt no satisfaction in it. Well, maybe just a bit.